This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 4th, 2021. Easter Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed.
In the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father and the Son.
It's always befuddled me how men who walked with our Lord Jesus Christ watched him raise people from the dead, watched him walk on water, cure blind people, blind since birth, watched him speak, and a storm stopped immediately, and the sea became like glass. How we can read a passage that then the disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. Does this mean in any way, shape, or form that St. John the Divine did not believe in Jesus Christ before he reached and saw? He wouldn't have been there if he didn't believe, in a sense. But our belief is ever increasing. Our belief should ever be manifesting itself more and more as we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more we engage with him through the Eucharist, through the confessional, the deeper our faith should be and the more pronounced our belief should be. And then we need to prove that belief. I mentioned in our Good Friday service that the cross can be looked, and this isn't the way we look at it a whole lot, is a test. It was a test of our Lord Jesus Christ's obedience to the Father. It was a test to see if people would believe who he was. It was a test by the people of God to prove that this was indeed his only begotten Son who came to die for our sins. It was a huge test, and our Lord Jesus Christ passed it. The resurrection is this passing grade. He got extra credit. The Pharisees looked at our Lord Jesus Christ and said, if he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we'll believe. He did more than that. He didn't come down from the cross because that could be, oh, he's superhuman. He came down from the cross and now he's still alive. He never died. He died on the cross and then overcame death. He did more than what was expected. But yet, did they believe? Oh, he rose from the dead. We all believe now. No. Our Lord Jesus Christ knew that because he said in one of his parables, even if someone comes from the dead, they still won't believe. That's because they approach their faith in a rationalistic way. They approach their faith cognitively, dotting I's and crossing T's, keeping rules. That's all very, very important. But we do it because we want to prove something to our Lord. Because he's proved something to us through his resurrection, we need to prove something to him that we truly believe. And that's not talking about it. It is actually living it. We're living in a day and age where there is a stark contrast between those who believe and those who do not. They may have a said faith. They may talk about their belief, but when the rubber meets the road, they don't. They prove it and know. How do you judge their heart? I'm not judging anybody's heart. I'm judging their fruit. By their fruits, you will know them. And a lot of fruit we see is rotten now. And that is in the context of what we see in the way people honor our Lord for his resurrection. On the day, particularly the one day of the year. I mean, really step back and look at it. Pagans come to church on Christmas and Easter, and people who profess to be faithful Catholics aren't going to Easter service this year. There was a survey last week. Two-thirds of Catholics said they're not going to Mass this year. They didn't go last year. They didn't go again this year. And you know what? They're not going next year, or the year after that, or the year, unless the Holy Spirit works in them and truly makes them believe. Because you could not shun the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. You could not do it under any constraint. You can't do it. If worse comes to worse, you know, do we have to be prudent? Do we have, you know, do you thumb your nose at authorities here, there, or the other? No. But you go out of your way to try to figure something out, not just sit home. That's not who we are. That's never who we have been as a church, ever. There is nothing new going on now. Well, the government says you can't have men. So what? Same thing happened to England in the 16th century. Henry VIII hijacks the church, and then they would like have a Catholic king or queen, and then a Protestant king or queen. Every time the Protestants were there, guess what? If we catch you at a mass, if we catch you hiding a priest, if we catch you saying the rosary, we're going to take your house and all that you own. We're going to throw you in prison, and we very may well kill you. That was their specter of exhibit. And guess what? There's a bunch of Catholics in England to this day. And there were a bunch of Catholics in England back in those days. They were prudent about it. They actually had, like, the one thing they had, we actually have chaplets now who, you know, 10 decades on the ground. That actually came from England. It was called a penal rosary. Penal. Because you would get put in prison if you got caught with it. And they made them so they could pray the rosary while they're out in the fields, and if somebody walked by, they would hide it up their sleeve. That's where that kind of stuff comes from. It was of necessity, but it didn't keep them from honoring our Lord Jesus Christ. We're a lot different from them now. You know, we have saints, particularly in the Ordinariate, that are English saints, and they're all martyrs. And you look at these men and women, and actually, if memory serves, most of them are women who were caught hiding priests or facilitating the celebration of Mass in some way. And they were killed in the most heinous ways. One of them was pregnant, and they put the door of her house on her and loaded it with stones until she was dead. They crushed a pregnant woman to death. Enlightenment England. They had nothing on pagan Rome as to what they would do to Catholics. I'm not going to get into the details. Go home and read Drawn and Quartered. We throw that term around a lot. They're going to draw and quarter that guy. It was a thing. It was a thing that they did to people. If you want to, go home and Google it. Drawn and Quartered. And you know when they did this horrible thing to you? After they hung you and just waited just before you were dead and cut you down. And then they revived you. And then they drawn and quartered you. This is what they did to priests in England. And there were still men who were ordained in France, got on a boat, sailed the English Channel. They were dressed in regular clothes and so on. But there were spies in France. They knew who they were. And they would hit the dock in England. And before they could celebrate their first Mass, they were arrested on the ship. And they were killed in a most horrible way. That is the way the church has always faced persecution from government. How far have we fallen? Just acquiesce. Well, okay. Government says we can't have that. Fix it. The stark contrast between faithful and unfaithful in our day is stark. It is tremendously stark. And, you know, they're all unfaithful. No, they're not. And the ones who are faithful, they stand out like a star in the pitch black. Our bishop never dispensed mass attendance, ever. He never dispensed mass. A dispensation means you don't have to go to mass. He never dispensed. For a couple weeks, he commuted the obligation of mass attendance. Commutation means you might not be able to show up at Incarnation Catholic Church, but you got to do something that is equal. You are bound by obligation to do it on Sundays and on days of obligation. But even that only lasted a short period of time. He never dispensed. Most other bishops dispense. There is still in place dispensation of mass attendance. I don't know why people aren't coming back. Why should they? You tell them they don't have to. That's the stark contrast. As of last October, if you're a member of the Ordinariate, you're under obligation to come to Mass every single Sunday, no matter, unless you have some kind of underlying condition or by reason of age, because our bishop is faithful. And it's a tremendously stark contrast to those who are not. And unfortunately, that's most of them. I get nauseated when I talk to some of my confreres. Well, I wish I got to be obedient to my bishop. Why is that the only promise that you made before God that you remember, Father? That is not the only ordination promise you made. I know what the ordination promises are because I took them. But I wanted to see what happened when you searched ordination promises. And actually, a couple days ago, sir, ordination promises. Several sites. Two, to be celibate and obey your bishop. And it just stopped there. To be celibate and obey your bishop. And how about resolve to celebrate faithfully and reverently in accord with the church's tradition, the mysteries of Christ, especially the sacrifice of the Eucharist and the sacrament of reconciliation for the glory of God and the sanctification of the Christian people. That's an ordination promise. And if your bishop tells you not to do that, where's your priorities? Your promise of obedience to him, he's a man. In this promise, it is for the glory of God and the sanctification of the Christian people. Priorities are really messed up in our day and age. Even when I was in the military, you had to obey your last lawful order. You did not have to obey an order if an officer came up to you and said to do something that was not right. Hey, they've been shooting at us from that village for weeks. Go burn it down. There's women and children there, sir. It doesn't make it even. Burn it down. No, sir. I worry. No, sir. Not a lawful order. You don't have to obey, as a Catholic, orders that conflict with your obligations to God. Obligations to God. Somebody shared with me after the last Mass that they had heard. I don't do the news too much. It's kind of depressing in our day and age. Most of us know that. Somebody shared with me that it was either in England or Ireland on Good Friday, this past Friday, the cops went into a church and arrested the priest because there were more than 10 people. I am going to search the man's name because he's going to be on the altar today, because God knows who I'm talking about. I would suggest that you go Google that man's name and pray for him fervently, thanking him for being faithful to our risen Savior, not being obedient to his bishop who gave him an unlawful order, and not obeying civil authority. We're going to renew our baptismal promises today. and the renewal of the baptismal promises, it explicitly says that we shun the world because the world is an enemy of God. Why are we letting the world dictate how we worship? It must be resisted. It must be resisted. And to not resist it is to be unfaithful. It is to prioritize God under something else. I can go to jail. They've been doing that for 2,000 years. Okay, come up with something different. That's the reality of things. That's what we're supposed to be. Salt, light. If the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? Except to be trodden underfoot of men. Many, many, I would say most places in the world, it is being trodden underfoot of men. There's a reckoning. There is a reckoning. There are parishes that are doing layoffs. Why? We can't pay the people. Why can't you? Because you've been closed? You've been unfaithful? You don't tell your people that they need to go to Mass? God will take his hand of blessing off. Think this is joking? It's not. When we renew our baptismal vows today, listen to the words. Listen to the words, because you are going to be held to account by the words that you say, the promises that you make to God Almighty. If you break a promise to another person, that's bad. If you break a promise to God, there's going to be a reckoning in this world and in the next. We've got to be faithful. This is our baptism. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our baptism, we have to understand that through the baptismal water, Jesus Christ applies his resurrection to us. Objectively, he applies his resurrection to our lives. Before we're baptized, we're dead in trespasses and sins. We are in the darkness of the world. We belong to the prince of the power of this world, which is Satan. And through our baptism, we are wrestled from that. Our baptism applies graces to us, and not just graces, but the actual presence of divinity itself in the person of the Holy Spirit that indwells our souls, infused to us by our baptism. That was won for us by Jesus Christ's suffering and death. It was won for us through our baptism. It is bestowed upon us in an objective way, in a real way. It's not churchy. It's not transcendent and ethereal. Nothing we can grasp. It changes you. He has changed you, and he now demands of you. So this is applied to our renewal of vows. Pay attention to it, because you, as God's people, you know, I pointed out, and I am ashamed to be accounted with many priests and bishops in this world. I do not want to be associated with them because of the way they have acquiesced to the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's shameful for me, but we all have to step back and understand that we, as faithful, not just priests and bishops, if your priests and bishops are dropping the ball, you need to do something about it. What can I do about it? You find a place to go where it's faithful, or you fervently pray at your home, as opposed to going to, but I don't have to go to church now. To honor our Lord in every way that you possibly can, both in prayer and in the way you live your life. You ratchet up your Christian life and present it to people, because we all have commandments to uphold. For instance, to remember and keep holy the Sabbath day. There's no caveat, remember to keep the holy the Sabbath day, unless the government tells you you don't have to. We are called by the church's precepts to attend Mass on Sunday and holy days of obligation. Your bishop demands that of you. You are obliged, as members of the ordinariate, to do so. you are commanded by our Lord in his great commission to go, therefore, and teach all nations. I don't think I could do that. He also tells us in the book of Acts that you shall receive the power from the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. This isn't something you have to leave up to yourself. You've received graces to be enabled to do it. You just got to cooperate with the graces. You got to use them. You got to use the tools that our Lord Jesus Christ has given us, graces, to build yourself up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, bear with, it is not the great suggestion. It's the great commission. It's our purpose in life. It is why we exist, to advance the kingdom of Christ in this world. And it doesn't matter. You can't make any, well, other people being unfaithful, I can do it too. No, you can't. Because guess what? We're not going to collectively stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Each and every one of us, when we breathe our last, hey, you made these promises at your baptism. Did you fulfill them? Did you not? This is going to be a question posed to each and every one of us. We have vowed to Almighty God that when you do that, he expects you to keep them. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.